It would start the Mishnah at the bottom of Ayin Chedem and Bed. The Mishnah discusses Mishnah Tan Rishut L'Shluchol L'Kadeshet Bito. He gives permission to a shliach, to an agent to act on his behalf, to set kedushin for his daughter. V'lachu B'Kidja. And then he goes ahead and accepts kedushin for his daughter. Im Shalom Kadmo. If his is first, then kiddushav kiddushim. Then his kiddushin are valid kiddushin, and the agent is nitched, pushed off, because he no longer can be mekadesh the daughter. V'im shel shluchot kadmo, if the shliach, the agent's kiddushin were first, then kiddushav kiddushin. The agent's kiddushin are valid, because he was empowered to take that and act on behalf of the father, and therefore the kiddushin are valid. Whereas v'im eino yadua, if it's unknown, or we do, there's no way to determine who came first, whether the father was first or the agent was first. Shnehem nozdim get. Then both husbands have to give a get to free this girl. Or obviously one of them can give a get, the other one can marry her. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the marriage, we just don't know who is really married to or is not.
And why is it because the have to do that addition together?
Yeah, possibly, right, in case it's not,
in case
he was the second. Right, that makes sense. Right, v'chein, ha'isha not number shoot the shlucha v'kadja. So again, a woman gives permission to a shliach to act, or an agent to act on her behalf. V'alcha v'kadja is atzma. In the interim, she goes ahead and accepts kiddushin on her own. Im shalla kadmo kiddusha kiddushin. So if hers is first, meaning that she preceded the agent, then her kiddushin are valid. Again, if the agent's kiddushin went into effect first, kiddusha, kiddushin, the agent's kiddushin are valid. Again, if it's unknown whether she or the agent got it first, both have to get a get, and one of them gives a get, and then one of the two people can give a get, the other one can marry her, and as Shaul mentioned, possibly have to do kiddushin over again to ensure that there was a valid kiddushin over here. Gemara's going to ask, you just gave two examples of the basically exact same formulation. Alright, now, Bitzricha. We need a case. Why do we need both cases in the Mishnah? Have we spoken simply about the father? The father who appoints an agent, or the father who marries on behalf of his daughter? Mishum de Gabra Kimle Biyuchsin. Reason that we say that the father's kiddushin will take precedence over the agent's kiddushin is because the father and the possibly agent look into yuchsin. They look in, they check out very carefully. When it comes to men, they look into these issues of yuchsin and they're much more attuned to them. But a woman who's not so attuned to this, who's not so careful, is going to have a kiddushah, a kiddushin. Maybe when she is mekadesh herself, we would say that she leaves open the possibility that if the shliach comes up with a better situation, that she will go with the agent's kiddushin. And that she really isn't finalizing her kiddushin until she knows the other possibility, because, again, she's not as careful or as attuned or as able to find the most miyuchas person. Now, the other possibility, Yishmael and Gabi Dido, had we only heard about the case by her, meaning by the daughter, when a woman comes along and she's getting married, she really looks into the situation, not about yichus, but she looks in, makes sure that she says, this is who I want to marry, because, again, for a woman, right, there's only one possibility, one choice, whereas for a man, there were multiple choices, even if, quote-unquote, he makes a mistake, right, he can marry additional women. About you, when it comes to the father, let's say, it doesn't matter. As long as he gets his daughter married off, he's happy. I mean, that whoever comes first, let's get it done. Kitcha avia b'derech, the kitcha atzma b'ir. Alright, so her father, right, was out and about, and was mekadesh on behalf of his daughter. And she, while she was still home, accept the kiddushin on her own behalf. V'harihi bogeret. And she is now a bogeret. So, simply, if she's a katano, meaning if she's below the age of 12, there's nothing to talk about because she's not empowered to do anything on her own behalf. Whereas her father is empowered to act right, on her behalf. So there's no question her father's kiddushin is a valid kiddushin. Although we did discuss, the Gemara had that discussion as to when a girl who is kind of acts on her own behalf, what's the status of that kiddushin. But nevertheless, in general, her actions are not valid. Beyond that, we have the Nara. Nara lasts for the next 6 months, which is from 12 to 12 and a half. In that period, they're both empowered to accept kiddushin. The father's empowered and the daughter's empowered, meaning they both can accept kiddushin. And basically, then you would have replicated a case that was in our Mishnah, which is possibly whoever comes first, right, gets the say. Then, once after 12 and a half, she becomes a bogeret, she's entitled to accept kiddushin on her behalf. Her father is no longer able to accept on her behalf. This case, we're going to see this in a second, this case is, and the Gemara is going to clarify this, is a case where she's on the last day of 12 and a half. She's on that threshold of Nara and Bogeret. And so we're unsure as to who's empowered to accept kiddushin over here. If she's still an Nara, the father's still empowered. If she's a Bogeret, then only she is empowered to do it. So we're on that cusp. Because we're on that cusp, there's going to be a suffix. So because the case here is, again, Kitcha Abir B'derach, Kitcha Atma Abir, Varehi Bogeret, Rav Amar Harehi Bogeret Lefanenu. Well, we check now, and she is a Bogeret, and that the Simanim of a Bogeret are apparent. And therefore, if she's a Bogeret, she is empowered to take care of herself. Shumamar Kashin on the Kedushay Shnehem. We're Koshesh that, okay, she's a Bogeret now, but maybe in the morning when the father accepted Kiddushin, she wasn't a Bogeret, and he was empowered to accept Kiddushin on her behalf.
Okay.
Emad, when is this marriage, when is this issue coming up? Ilema Batok Shisha, between 12 and 12 and a half. So Mar says, Baha name Rav, Harehi Bogeret Lefanenu. Why would Rav ever make such a statement that if we discover now that she's a Bogeret, that we would assume prior to this point she was also a Bogeret? I mean, the chazaka is that she remains a Nara for the first 6 months. So now all of a sudden we see that she's a Bogeret, there's no reason to assume that prior to this point in time she was also a Bogeret. That's something that is, she's in the process of changing. And if she's in the process of changing, as soon as we find a Bogeret, we assume from here forward, but not retroactively. Ashtu is a Bogra. Right, that happened right now. Ela Akar Shisha, what are you going to suggest? That it's post the 6 month period? Baha name is Shmuel Chayshina Nekdusha Shnehem. After 6 months, the chazaka is that she is a Bogeret. So then what's Shmuel's reason when we find out she's a Bogeret now not to assume that she was already a Bogeret from the point that we crossed over the threshold of 12 years and 6 months? So, Vashmar Shmuel Ein Bein Na'arut Bagrut El Shisha Chadashim Bilvad, that Na'arut to Bagrut has a window of only 6 months. So the way Rashi interprets it, let me explain this, is that literally means 6 months. The assumption is that it's not more than 6 months, and not less than 6 months. 6 months is the window, and that's the cutoff. So any chazaka that you want to establish, right, after 6 months, it's a Bogeret. Before 6 months, it's going to be a Na'ara. The question, Lotrifa, the Kaddish, Bahau Yoma, the Mashkim Shisha, which I told you earlier, is that the Gemara here is assuming that it's on the day that this change happened. So on the day that the change happened, she has neither a chazaka for a Na'ara, nor a chazaka for a Bogeret, because this is the day of change. And since it's the day of change, neither has the, right, chazaka of the day. So Rav Amar, Harehi Bogeret Lefanenu, that now we see, we discovered, we know now that she is a Bogeret. With the Hashka Bogeret, the Tzafra, Nami Bogeret. Now, if we're looking at her in the afternoon, in the evening, when she's a Bogeret, we're going to assume that in the morning she was also a Bogeret, because this is the day of change. This is the moment that, if we're checking her now, we assume now is when she changed. Before this, she was still, right, continuing the existence she had before, which was a Na'ara. Right, now, just point out, Tosfos says over here, why couldn't we come up with a case? Right, we came up with a case here where there's a challenge between her and her father, meaning that her father accepted Kiddushin and she accepted Kiddushin. Why can't the case just be that the father accepted Kiddushin? Meaning that, why do we have to involve her at all here? Meaning that the father could accept the Kiddushin with the same problem, because if she's a Na'ara, he's empowered. If she's a Bogeret, he's not empowered. Right, and just ask, is the Kiddushin of the father valid? Why do we have to bring in the additional issue that she accepted Kiddushin as well? That doesn't really add anything to the safek. The safek is simply whether she's a Bogeret or a Na'ara. Not whether the father has any tokif here. So it says it does make a difference. Why? Because had the father been the one who accepted the Kiddushin, and the daughter claims she's a Bogeret, father claims she's a Na'ara, the woman's status is that of Tnuya. She's a single woman. She has an additional chazaka of remaining single, which is that she was single until this point, If your mamshich let hazata, the Derech Hazaka will say that she should remain single. In the case where she accepts kiddushin on her own behalf as well, she's ruined that chazaka. Because mimonoshach, she's married now. She's either married because she accepted kiddushin, or she's married because the father accepted kiddushin. So once you've eliminated that chazaka of pnuya, then we have to look at the issue of bogeret versus nara, right, in a vacuum. And there, we don't have any chazaka that stands. Then we have to discuss what Rabbi Shmuel's reasoning is. Whereas, if it was just the father accepting kiddushin, we have something that leans in her favor, which is until this point she was a pnuya, she was single, and the chazaka would remain once she makes the claim, I was a bogeret when my father accepted kiddushin. Then she has her statement on the day that she's supposed to change, plus the chazaka that she was single until this point, and she should remain single, and that would be strong enough to knock off the father's kiddushin, and the father's kiddushin would be invalid. So the reason we needed to add her kiddushin in here was to ruin that chazaka of pnuya, to get her to the monof stuff state that she is married. Here it's a question of who she's married to, not whether she is married or not.
Before the 6 months have elapsed.
It is on the day of the 6 months.
No, I'm saying that if it's before the 6 months have elapsed,
yeah.
Day earlier.
Right.
Okay. So, you saw that
say, yeah. No, then you have Chazkas Naris, which is that he has the Chazak of Naris in his favor. The only reason that the last day is issued is because there is no Chazak of Naris or Bagus on that day. After 6 months, there's a chesed bagus, and before that day, there's a chesed narus. So those chazakah will support one of the two positions in those 2 days. So only on that exact day of the 6 months, where there's no chazakah supporting either party, then we have this question that arises. Alright. Ushmuel, my shnami mikvah. Why is Shmuel here of a different opinion than mikvah? Which is, it's not. We had this mission earlier, we discussed these cases earlier. Mikvah shenimdad v'nimtza chaser. Measured a mikvah today, and we find out that it doesn't have the 40 saw that it's supposed to have in it. Kol tarosh natsua gabav l'mafreya, ben b'shut d'yachid, ben b'shut d'rabim, t'meot. Everything, anything that was used this mikvah is t'mei, because we assume that the mikvah, it was a chaser, even though we found it now, we assume that it was chaser l'mafreya. So why don't we say the same thing over here by a bagus? Why don't we say that the woman, right, once we found that she was a bogeret, let's assume that she was a bogeret all the way along. So why does here Shmuel say the bogeret? It's only bogeret once we discover her. And by mikvah, he says that the mikvah is chaser all the way back to the time that we know that it wasn't chaser, I mean, until the last time it was measured. So when it says, shiny hotam, the ikal meimar, he made tamei al chazkato. Because you have an additional chazaka, which is that anything that went before they got into the mikvah was tamei. So you have a chazaka of tuma, and that chazaka of tuma, right, added to the chaser, it's going to lean in favor of saying that nothing was tahor. Whereas over here, the bogeret, there was no chazaka prior to this point that she should have been a bogeret. She should have simply been a nara until this point. Ema ve'emar lo tava. Sorry, I didn't finish up that sentence. Deke lem emar emar tzemenek uzvado ve'emar lo tava. So the words not to be later. So Shaul's question. Adarabo. Hemed mikvah chazkato. Right, let's keep the mikvah and the chazaka that it was last measured. It was a kosher mikvah. Leave that as a chazaka. Ve'emar lo chazar. Right, so you say, and say that it didn't get detracted from until the moment that you mention it. Where it says, are you chaser lefanecha? So we say, no, because right now you're looking at a mikvah that's chaser, so that ruined the chazaka. If it ruined the chazaka, we assume that the chazaka was ruined even prior to this point. So it says, well, hakanami, are you bogeret lefanecha? If you want to say that, then we're looking at a girl who's a bogeret right now. Say the same thing, that ruined the chazaka going backwards. Where it says, hashkehu the bagra. So that's, no, that's because at this moment she became a bogeret. Where it says, hashtanami. Hatamnami, right? Why don't we say the same thing? That hashtahu the chaser. That right now, that's when it became chaser. If you could say right now she became a bogeret, let's say that right now the mikvah went, right, south. I mean, that it went negative or missing on this day. So, hazam, tarte the riuta. Hacha, chata the riuta. The difference between the girl and the mikvah is that the case of mikvah has two negatives, whereas the girl has the, right, one negative. By the mikvah, you have a cheskas tuma, which is the opposite of tuma, and we have chaser lefaneinu. We have the chaseret that is in front of us. By a bogeret, the only negative we have is that she is now a bogeret. But there is nothing else supporting that position. To say that she had a chazaka, that she was a bogeret, prior to this point, we don't have, because prior to this point, she has a cheskas narus, and on this day, it's the day that changes, so there is no chazaka to this day. So all you have is bogeret lefaneinu. That's what Shmuel says is the difference. Fine, mikvah, where I partially riuta, I have two things pointing to the negative side. I say then, until the point, but we go to my friend, until the point we knew it was whole, you assume it was negative. But Bakrus, the only thing we have now is that she changed. So from now forward, we'll say that she changed. But going backwards, we're not going to make any assumptions. So when it says, Shmuel, not a, my shnami chavit, Right? What's the difference for Shmuel? And also, by the way, just as an aside, this question of mikveh will also be a question for Rav. And Rav also has to explain why. Rav only goes back, right? Rav only goes back until the point of the morning. The way we look at the mikveh goes retroactively back to the last time it was checked. So how come by mikveh you go all the way back to the day it was checked? And over here you don't go back, by Rav, you only go back to the morning. Not all the way back to the last time we knew she was a Na'arah. Right, so the question, so the truth is, there doesn't be on Rav as well, but it's just a stronger question against Shmuel. Rav's answer will be the same answer, meaning that by Abadus, you have the Cheskes Narus that comes up against you, you know, prior to this day. Whereas by Mikveh, you have no other Chazaka that comes up against you. You have the Cheskes Tumah, and you have the Cheskes of the Missing Mikveh. Shmuel, now I should not be Now Shmuel, how do you explain this, right, Bryce, the Tanya? Abu Deket the Chavit, Afrisha that Chuma. He used to check, he has a barrel of wine, which he uses to take off all his chumah. Every time he has chumah, he says, every time he comes up with like 100 lug of wine, he says 2 lug from this barrel become chumah. So he keeps this as his like, chumah allocation, and he keeps using it to take chumah off other places. So he goes and checks it all the time to make sure that it's still wine. Because you can only use wine to be mafish chumah from other wine. Whereas if it turned into vinegar, it won't be usable anymore. Bolek, right, that's what he did all along. V'achar kach, nimtzei t'chumet. Right, but then he finds out that it turned into vinegar. Kol gimel yamin, right? Vaday mikan beilech safek. 3 days are certain, all right. Mikan beilech beyond that is a safek. Right now, there happens to be a machlokas and marayim. It's irrelevant to our gemara, but what does it mean the 3 days? Or does it mean the 3 days from when you found it was chometz? When you found it vinegar, we look back 3 days and say that it was chometz already for the last 3 days, and after before that point it was a safek. Or do we say the last time it was checked for wine? 3 days forward, it was wine, and beyond that, it was safek, it's a safek chometz. But either way, what do you see from this? You see from this that the safek, right, persists backwards, meaning that the safek goes backwards from before that point. Now, by mikveh, we said there was no safek. We said as long as it was chaser now, and cheska tuma, we said look backwards, and, right, everything was tameh, not even a safek. Over here, we're talking about safek. Why don't we say the same thing? We say either beyond the 3 days where we know it's chometz, be vaday tahor, or if you say from the last 3 days you checked it was wine, until that point everything should be vaday chometz and be problematic. Right.
From the moment that we checked it. Or
beyond those 3 days afterwards, it should be all vaday chometz. So why is it that this Mishnah has a safek? So Mar says, Raminin chavita mikveh. Why are you getting on Shmuel's back? This is a problem between the breisa of chavit that we just quoted and mikveh. It's not really a problem with Shmuel, it's a problem between the two different, right, tanaic works. So where it says, Maishna the Hakov Adai, Ushmai the Hakov the Safek. Why does the Bright of Akavit have a Safek and the Bright of Mishnah by Mikveh has a Vadai? So Amrav Anina Misuria, Mantan of Chavit. Who is the author of the Mishnah of Chavit? That is Rav Shimon. Right? Rav Shimon here. That he is, the author of that Mishnah is Rav Shimon. The Gabi Mikveh Nami Sveka Mishavit. That he also thinks by Mikveh that it's also a Safek. It's two different. We're talking about two different Tanaim here. One Tana is the author of Mikveh, one Tana is the author of Chavit. Now the author of Chavit is Rabbi Shimon, who says Safek. The Tanya, Kotaroch, Nasua Gabav, the Mafreya, Ben Bishrut Yachid, Ben Bishrut Arabim, Tmeot. That's the, like our price of, our Mishnah by Mikveh says exactly that. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Bishrut Arabim Torot, Bishrut Yachid Tolin. So what do you see from Shimon? Rabbi Shimon says it's a Safek. And we know that Safek Tumah of Rishut Rabim is always Tahor, right? And Safek Tumah of Rishut Yachid is Safek for, right, Rabbi Shimon. Aval the Rabbanon, Tevel the Mafreya. According to Rabbanon, it would be Tevel all the way back, Tevel Vadai. So, okay, now, so if you want to now reconcile between the Braisa and the Mishnah, you have two different opinions. You have the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon always says, when I have a problem, I automatically assume it's a Safek and not a Vadai problem. So therefore, even by mikveh, I find the chesed with baneinu, right? And I had the cheska tumah, but I also have against that the chazaka that was checked once before. It produces for me, backwards from this point until the last time it was checked, this is a safek for me. I have a safek whether everything that I put in here was tahor or tameh. And therefore, again, he has the principle that the reshut rabbein it would be tahor, reshut yachid will be left as a safek. The rabbanan say no. Hari chaser lefaneinu. If chaser standing in front of us, plus we have cheska tum'ah, then it's vaday tameh. Anything going backwards from today, back to last time it was checked, is vaday tameh. Whether it's in reshus rabim, reshus yochid, irrelevant because it's vaday tameh. Coming over to chavit, So what are the Chachamim going to say by Chavit? They're going to say, from the moment I found out that it was Chomet, right? Anything back, at least according to one opinion, right? Everything going backwards for the last, all the way back to the time, last time I checked it was wine, right? Then it is Badai, Tevel. Anything I took Truma off of with this is invalid to the last time I checked that it was still wine. That's what's coming, the opinion, right?
3 days after that.
3 days after the last wine, right? Exactly. And then, or, right, again, the other way around, that it was Badai Chomet, but here I think the 3 days are more important to Rav Shimon. So the Chomet, it's really going to be Badai Chomet all the way back to the last time you checked it was wine. Maybe the 3 days afterwards it would be still wine. Alright, now, according to Rav Shimon, no. I check backwards and I say, okay, until that point, either 3 days backwards I know for sure it's Chomet, or after the wine, the last 3 days after I knew it was for sure wine, anything in between, right, is the Safek, meaning that I have to be Makish Misafek, not not me Badai, that has to be take off the Truma.
Well, why about the Chavit, just to do this 3 day buffer that everybody agrees that? I'm disagree where the 3 days are. Like,
because, the idea that wine changing into vinegar is a process. That's the idea, right? Meaning that it doesn't instantaneously become Chomet. So either wine, right, the assumption is either that it was wine, we know it was wine, so it couldn't be Chomet for 3 days afterwards, or it's Chomet today, we could assume that that started 3 days ago, but that doesn't mean before that we can identify anything for certain. Because of the process. I mean, your question you asked by Bulgaris also, how do you have that instantaneous change in Simani? But there is a point, there is a threshold beyond which it is, right, where it is Bulgaris, as opposed to wine. Wine can be a mixture of wine and vinegar, I mean that wine is souring.
It's starting to turn.
Right, exactly. So there's that process. Alright, so now, back to the question, now it's on Shmuel. So what's Shmuel going to say? Shani Hotam, the Ikal Meimar. So right, let's say, now Shmuel has to explain, according to the Chachamim, he's going to explain the case of Chavit. So before he explains the Mishnah case, okay, so right, sure, this Mishnah is not a sphere between the Mishnah and the Braisa, because one's Rabbi Shimon, one's a Chachamim. But according to the Chachamim, why is Tevel the Mafreya Vadai a problem? And according to Shmuel, by Bulgaric, she's only a Bulgaric today and not going backwards. So he says, well, that's because by Truma, the case of Truma, we can say Hemet Tevel Chesedo. Say that this is Tevel, right? And because it's Tevel, it remains Tevel, and that's the point. It says Adarabba, Hemet Yayin Chesedo. Why don't you leave Yayin and say the wine was wine? At one point we checked it; it should remain as a Chazaka that it's wine. So Gemara says Zemer LaMachomet. Echmis, and didn't become right vinegar. So Gemara says Kari Echmis LeFanecha. We know that it's vinegar now. So you can't say that it was Chazaka wine. So Gemara says Achanami, are you Bulgaria Fanenu? Over now, we look at this girl, she's a Bulgaria, so she has the same problem. Someone says, Hashta who's a Bulgaria? So he says, no, because now it's when she became a Bulgaria. So Hashtam Nami, right, who the Achmet? And also over here, Hashta who's Achmet, now is when it became Chomet. Why did you say it went before? So then it says, Hashtam, Tarta the Rusa, same problem that Shmuel had before. There you have Tarta the Rusa. What's Tarta the Rusa? Number one, we're looking at vinegar right now. Number two is you have the Chazka Tevel. Right, you have a Chazaka Tevel, plus now we're looking at Chomet. That, right, will overcome any other chazaka and say that it's a badai problem. By the case of Bulgaret, chadal reyusahu, right, the ika. We only have one reyusah, which is that she is Bulgaret lefanenu. Anything else we don't have, because we don't have any other chazaka that's to her detriment. Because in this, again, before this day, she was a chazaka that she was a nara. And on this day, there's no chazaka either way. So there's no chazaka to support the tzad of Bulgaret. So again, Shmuel answers the same way he answered by Mitzvah, which is that when we have part of the Ryusa, then we say it's Vaday a problem going backwards. When we have part of the Ryusa, then we say whatever's in front of us, that changed now and did not change prior to this point in time. Now Gemara says, Neima Kitznai. Let us say that the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is also a Machlokas Tanaim that we see in other places. Mi, Motzi Miyadmi. Who can take from whom? So that's the case here. The case here is actually a case where someone gave over all of his property to a bunch of people, and lo shiur, he didn't leave anything over. So what's the din? When he gives all of his property to other people and leaves nothing for himself, it makes a difference when he gifted that property. If he gifted that property when he was a shechid neira, right, when he was notel amut, he was on his deathbed, and he writes all the property, then there's an underlying, right, snai, in his gift, which says, I'm going to die, and I'm gifting you this because I'm going to die. If he gets up from his deathbed, then the transaction is reversed, because we assume that the reason he gifted it was because he knew he was going to die. Now that he didn't die, right, he's going to take it back. How do we know he's gifting it only because he died? Because he gave away everything.
If he thought he was going to get better, he would have left something for himself. The fact he leaves nothing shows you that he's gifting it because he's going to die. So he gets up. But if he gifts all of his property while he's still healthy, right, when he is a healthy individual, he gifts all of his property, then he has no ability to reverse it. Why? Because he was healthy, he was sound mind, he gave away all his property. That's his choice. He can't come to us and say now, whoops, I'm still healthy. But he was healthy when he gave it. So he has no premise to say that there's an implicit tnai in his gift. Now what? They have a machlokas. He's standing before us. We have a healthy man in front of us. And we have a bunch of recipients of a gift from him that says that I got all of his property. He says, when I gifted it, I was on my deathbed. They say, when you gifted it, you were healthy. So now who do we believe here? Who has the chazaka, who has the meitad to say that they're right, or that the other person has to bring the proof here? Me, v'tzimi yad me. Who meets motzimi adam below raya? He can take out of their hand without any raya. V'hainin motzimi adam below raya. They need a proof to remove from him. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov believes that the burden of proof is on those that are receiving the gift to prove that he was always healthy. We don't just say because he's healthy now that he was healthy prior to this point. Sounds like whom? That sounds like Shmuel. Just because she's a Bulgarian now doesn't mean that she was a Bulgarian before this point in time. Rabbi Nathan Omer says no. In Barihu, Allah Babi Raya, Shayesh Kimira. If right now he's standing in front of us and he is healthy, right, then we have to assume that before this point he was also healthy. That means that the burden of proof is on him to show that he was once on his deathbed, that he was a Shkimira. Then Vib Shkimira, who Alayam Babi Raya, Shapari Aya. Again, if he's now on his deathbed again, for some reason, then they have to prove at some point that he got healthy, right, or that when he gifted it, he was healthy, because what we're looking at is a person on his deathbed in front of us. That sounds like Rob. Rob says, if I find a Bulgarian now, that means before this point she was also a Bulgarian. It means that we don't just assume that it happened right this moment. Right, name a Rob, don't mark Rabbi Nathan. Let's say Rob's like Rabbi Nathan, that if you have somebody who's in front of us, we assume that that situation persisted from before this point in time, right? That whatever's in front of us happened now, but the burden of proof is on the other person to say, right, that it was like this before this point in time. So the Rebbe says, no, because each one of them can answer. I'm going to look around. Ana Amri, I feel like Rabbi Yaakov. I can even hold like Rabbi Yaakov. Why? I'm going to look around. I'm going to look like Rabbi Yaakov. I'm going to look. Leave the money where the chazak is. Who has the chazak on the money? It's clearly the gift, or it's the gifter. And the person who's giving the gift, it's his money. Right? Everybody agrees that at one point it was his money. So the chazak is where the money is. Over here, what type of chazak are you going to establish for the girl? Hemed the gufa chazkato, that she was a nara. But we're on the sixth day of last day of the 6 months where she loses that chazak. That chazak is no longer in force anymore. So you can't send it. I can even hold like Rabbi Nathan, who says that whatever the status is today was persistent before this point in time. That's because in general everybody's assumed to be healthy. Over here he wants to change his status to say that he was a Shechid Meira. That he's got to bring proof. Because we have him healthy right now. We have a chazaka that people in general are healthy, and now he wants to show that he's a shchimira. That's like Tartel Ryuka. He's healthy right now, plus he was everybody's assumed to be healthy at one point. Now he wants to change that. That's Tartel Ryuka. V'holka mi kamaf v'nafshom a chazaka to kamei. Over here, right? Who's going to take her out of the right? Who's going to take her out of the original chazaka? I mean, she has a cheskas nara, and all we have now is that Bulgaria zafanenu. That she just turned into a Bulgarian. There's no other chazaka that is adds on or makes it that we have to prove that it was otherwise until this point of point. So okay, fine. That can't be the machlokus tonight. Name a kahani tonight. Let us say it's this machlokus tonight. Kitcha avia b'derech, the kitcha atma b'yir. It's she. Her father was kitcha b'derech, and she was kitcha atma b'yir. V'hari he Bulgarian, and now she's Bulgarian. Exactly the case of Rav and Shmuel. Right, but now we have tonight. Tana Chada Ari Bulgaria Lefaneinu. Right, like Rav. One Tana says, this is a Bulgaria now, she must have been a Bulgaria before this time. Tana Ida Kashina Nekushe Shneir. Like Shmuel, we have another Brav, so another Tana that says exactly like Shmuel's opinion. So my love, Chad to Rav, Chad to Shmuel. The simple way to explain this is, one Tana is like Rav, one Tana is like Shmuel. Right, says both. Idi V'idi Kishmuel. They're both like Shmuel. Kan B'makacha Shato. Right? Kan b'she'im e'kach ha'shato. Question is, what is the girl saying over here? So that's the difference over here. Shmuel, right, has his opinion. His opinion changes depending on whether the girl is objecting to what the father is saying or not. When we say, okay, she's a Bulgaret now, and then we say that she was a Bulgaret beforehand, if she makes no claim that she was a Bulgaret before this point in time, then the father's Kiddushin, right, will still stand or still have tokef, because she's not saying, or she's not making a claim, that because I was a Bulgaret now, I was always a Bulgaret beforehand. So at that point, we have a Safek. Whereas, if she comes and makes a definitive statement that I'm a Bulgaret now, and I was a Bulgaret beforehand, in that case, even Shmuel agreed, right, that the Bagus already started prior to this point in time. Right, so, if that, when it says, are you a Bulgaret lefanenu, right, that is, that's when she disagrees with her father, that I was already Bulgaret beforehand. Whereas, if there's no objection, then we say we're subject shame, because she's not making a bari claim that I was already Bulgaret. All we have is that she's Bulgaret now, she's making a bari claim.
And then
what? Then what?
And then the shem rusa kicks in.
Yeah, you have two of them. You have a chasha, you have a suffix between that both of them are married to her. She has to get a get either from one and marry the other, or get a get from both if she wants to marry someone else. Right, so now Gemara says, "Benema bindemat nita lo plige amurai lo plige." All right, so now you said that the Tanoim don't argue because you set up the possibility that Shmuel could also vote like both Tanoim. So why don't we just say like that Rav and Shmuel's opinion is not that they're against each other, but that, right, there are different cases. They're speaking about two different cases. That Rav is speaking a case of Makach Hashato where she disagrees and says I was a Bulgarian from the morning, and Shmuel is talking about a case where she was not Makach Hashato, and therefore they came to a different conclusion, not because of a difference in opinion, but because of a difference in a case, right? But this brought, does that really make sense? V'har Rav Yosef braid Rav Nashio mitzvil. Ha'ava uvda kavate Rav. He passed in the local like Rav and said that the woman did not need a get from the other one, and she's married, right, to the Bulgarian. She's married to the person that the girl herself married, right? The ikbid Shmuel, and Shmuel got mad at him. V'amar kule amu kaile v'kava zuta. Everybody else in the world got a small portion of chachma. V'hai mi derabon and kaile v'kava rabon. This rabon and this Rav. This Rav Yosef over here got like the double portion of Chachma, that he thinks that he's strong enough to go and paskin that there is no suffix here. You know, he's passing like Rav that there is no suffix here, and Shmuel obviously holds that it's a suffix. If you think Rav and Shmuel don't argue, I might come up with. What is Shmuel being makbid about Rav Yosef's stock if he agrees to that stock of Rav Yosef? I mean, that the fact is, it's clear that they argue, otherwise Shmuel couldn't be upset at Rav Yosef for passing like Rav, who he agrees to. Doesn't make any sense. Gemara says, now this girsa here is not so clear. I'll read it the way the Gemara has it. Dilma, ki abi uvda b'makach hashato. Right? Maybe the problem that Shmuel had was not that he passed him like Rav necessarily, right? But his issue is with, right? Issue with the fact that right, there was, it was a case of hashkafasha, and even in that case, Rav would agree that to Shmuel's position that it was problematic. That's why Shmuel got mad at him. Not right. Not because he necessarily he passed against Shmuel, but he also said passed against Rav over here. Right. So that now that would make it again. That would make it an inconclusive over here. Tosfos is not happy with this, and Tosfos says that the Girsa did not have the word Dilma in it. Right. Is it? So the Gemara says ki abit ubda. Tosfos has another Girsa that it was ki abit ubda. That the Ubda that it happened was a case of Makach Hashato. And there, that's why we see there, if it was a case of Makach Hashato,
and
that means that by a Makach Hashato, we don't have any proof that they don't argue. And that you could suggest that there, then it could be that they still argue, but a Makach Hashato, that even Rav would persist with his opinion. No proof that Rav doesn't hold in that situation, or that Rav disagrees in the case of a Makach Hashato. And because of that, that's where Shmuel got upset at him or got angry at him. And because of that, those are the different gears. He brings also a third possible gears in the Gemara, which he rejects because he says that it doesn't include Rav's opinion. So it's sort of like Shmuel. Either the Gemara here is inconclusive, meaning that we can't bring a proof from the case of Shmuel, doesn't prove to us either way, or according to those, the Gemara is conclusive that at least right? They still argue in a case of ein matach hashato, that they argue in a case where there is no hachasha, because that's where Shmuel got upset at Rav, and that's, we're not saying Dilma, but maybe that rather ki amad ubda, right, is the case of ein matach hashato. The case is the case of ein matach hashato, where they clearly argue. And that's why, because in there Shmuel clearly says otherwise. The case is ein matach hashato, that has to be that Rav and Shmuel argue. That's the other possibility of the answer. Now, Armalei Marzucho the Rashi, Hachemar Meimar Hilchus Hakavati the Shmuel. The Lacha is like Shmuel. Again, implicit in that they argue, right? That they argue with Rav. So Ravashi Mar Hilchus Hakavati the Rav. Ravashi says the Lacha is like Rav. And since Ravashi gets to write the Gemara, Hilchus Hakavati the Rav. The Lacha, because he's a Pacha, right? Then the Lacha is like Rav. Now, truthfully. Very good. So that's over here. You have Rav and Shmuel, Halacha Rav is Surei. So over here, the default should have been that the Halacha is like Rav. So why did Rav Ashi have to come along here and say, Yilchus Hakavati D'Rav, if that is the general opinion?
Are we arguing the financial aspect of the
condition? The Tosafot, the answer is because there were other Amoraim who disagreed and said the Halacha is like Shmuel. So in this case, even though generally the Halacha is like Rav is the Surei, over here, Rav Ashi, or we had the Gemara to come out and say, Yilchus Hakavati D'Rav, because we have Amoraim who say the Halacha is not like Rav. Since we have a Moran that makes such a statement, then we have to come and say specifically that in this case the Halacha is like Rav.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's a principle. A Meimar said that, right? That Marzucha believes in this case that, right, Marzucha brought the name of a Meimar, that the Halacha is like Shmuel, despite the fact we have exceptions to the rule. There are exceptions to the rule, and this doesn't have to be one of them, but there are exceptions to the rule.
General principle.
And that is that, just like we have a Bayan Rabba, right? Rabba, except we have Yal Kagam, where it's like a Bayan. I mean, there are, every one of these principles has an exception to it when we are the Allah is like one person, except for these cases. Alright. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, but we did Kabbalah Naki, except for, right, there are other cases there, but not like him. So these principles. Bezole Shammai, the Mishnah, there's a whole parak of Brachos, that's the exceptions to the rule. Alright. New Mishnah. Mishi Asa, Hu Bi Ishto, the Mitzinat Hayam. They both travel out, you know, abroad. Uba Hu Bi Ishto, Banam. Comes back with that woman and children. Bamar Isha, she Asati me, the Mitzinat Hayam, Hari Hizu. The woman that I left with, this is the woman I left with, she's still the same woman. Beilu Banam, and these are her children. Ain't Sariyat Lavi Raya, Lo Alisha. This doesn't bring proof in the woman, because we already checked out the woman before he left here, meaning that she was fine. She had a Yukat. Right, below ala banim, and not on the children, because we assume, and the Gemara is going to say this, that these are children that are kuchim macharel. These are children that basically hang on to their mother, and they call her mommy, and they hang out with her. So it's pretty obvious that they are her children. So since we know that the woman is fine, and the children are hanging out with her, we assume that everybody's good here. Obviously, it's a case like probably like Makoin, or an Israeli wants to marry his daughter off to the kuna. You know, these children are totally are miyuchas to kuna, or they are able to eat truma. We're going to see machlokes in the Gemara about what it establishes for. Meita, she died while we were abroad. She died. Ve'elu banah, and these are her children. Then maybe raya ala banim, maybe raya right ala isha. He doesn't have to bring proof about the woman, but he does have to bring proof about the children.
Meaning that he has to bring proof
that these children belong to that woman, right? But he doesn't have to prove, according to Rashi, he doesn't have to prove that the woman is miyuchas, because she was already checked out before we left here. So as long as he can establish a link between these children and that mother, then everything is fine, because this mother, we assume, is when we left, when he left here, is the same woman. Alright, so now, Venimi Ravir Ayalishad, Rashi, the way Rashi explains it is again, you have to bring proof that the children belong to that woman, but you don't have to bring a proof that this woman is the same woman that he left with, and she was already miyuchas when he left. Right, exactly. So that's exactly what Yossi's asking, which is that the bishop just said the same thing twice. That when if you left with the woman, if she was checked out before you left, then it was fine. So Tosafot the Reed brings in a different explanation. He says, "Ein tzarich l'ria raya l'banim she'ein shelo." Right, that, what does it mean that he doesn't have to bring a proof, or that now he has to bring a proof? It's whether the children are his children. Alright? V'lo alisha shu bana became the kuchamara. So the raya here about the children and about the woman don't refer to the woman herself and the children themselves, but rather to him. Meaning that, do we have to bring proof that the children belong to him, or do we have to bring true proof that the children belong to the mother? Okay, so that's the questions that we are dealing with here. So when the Gemara comes and says that when he comes back from Medina Siyav, that he doesn't bring proof to the woman, he doesn't bring proof to the children, doesn't mean that he doesn't have to bring He doesn't have to bring proof that the children are his children. We assume that they are his children. And number two, he doesn't bring proof to the woman. We assume that these children belong to the woman because they are Shulchim Akareah. So again, when Meita Isha, when the woman dies, we say he has to bring proof that these are his children. He doesn't have to bring proof that they were this woman's children. Right? Even though she's Meita over here, right, we say that if he proves that they're his children, we assume that the woman that bore these children was the woman he left with over here, and not that he married some other woman, and Dina Sayam, had these children, and then they both died, and now he's back here with just the children. Right? We assume that the woman that he left with was the woman who mothered these children. And now all he has to do is prove that these are his children, and we'll have that assumption that they belong to this woman.
It doesn't prove that the woman means the mother, not
the mother herself, but that she's the mother of these children. Okay, and therefore the second case is a chiddush, because even though the mother's not here now, right?
Well, Rashi makes a little bit of sense in the sense that you could also prove that she was the mother, and then you don't know, prove anything about him. You have to say he's the father.
Right.
If he is prove that probably she's the mother, then he's the father.
Probably, right. But that's the reason. In order to get over this question that you had, that otherwise the Mishnah is just saying the thing over and over again, that the woman, we checked her before she left. Of course, we checked her before she left.
Yeah, you did. It's not like they come back together as a family. She's dead.
You're answering for Rashi that there's an additional. Maybe there's a reuse of it here because she died abroad, but it's not clear. I married a woman abroad. Hare Hizu. This is her. Veilu Banam. These are her children. Maybe Rayal Isha. Then he's got to bring proof that the woman is Yuchat. He doesn't have to bring proof on the children because the children are Korah Korah. They're hanging out with this woman. So the assumption is that these are her children. Right, of course, these are her children, and right, the assumption, all we have to do now is prove that if she's miyuchetet, then the children are fine. Mesa, so now he comes back, he went abroad, and he says that they died, ve'elu banav, and these are her children. Now he needs a proof on both aspects. He needs a proof that the woman was miyuchetet, because she's not, you know, here we gotta find out who she was. And then on the second half, we need a proof that these children, right, belong to this woman, because we have no idea, right? How do we know that these were her children? There's no way to prove that. You don't have kuch makara anymore. You don't have anything that shows that these children are actually shayach to the woman that he's claiming is miuchas. He might have married another woman abroad, right? And then they both, and she and this other woman died. He says, I was married to the other woman and these are her children. How do you prove that? He can't prove that. So he has to show, he has to bring evidence to both. That the number one, these children are her children. And number two, to bring evidence that the woman is a miuchas. So, Amar Rabba Barahuna. Bekulin bekuch makara. Right, our Mishnah, I explain the Mishnah this way, but this is the Gemara's assumption that the reason that the children are automatically assumed to belong to this woman is because they are hanging out with her, meaning that they're hanging on to her. Because they're hanging on to her, we assume that these are her children. Tarabana, Isha Nasati bin Dina Tayam, maybe Raya Lisha, Vinterichla Viraya Abanim. That's exactly our case here, that when he married the broad, brings the woman back with the kids, are Kruchan Acharaya, then we say bring a proof that the woman's Yuchet, and the children automatically get pulled along. Right, or maybe Raya Alek Zolim, Beinzerk Lebe Raya Alek Tanim. Again, that works for the Tanim. Tanim are Kruchan Akara. The Zolim are not Kruchan Akara, so therefore you have to bring an independent proof that the older children do belong to her. But maybe, right, we're going to be Shacha. That's why maybe he has one woman here. Aval B'shtei Nashim, if there are two women here, maybe Raya Alek Isha, Aval Banim, Alek Zolim, Alek Tanim. Once you have two women involved in the process over here, then we start having a problem. Why is this? Because what's the case over here? He married abroad. Right? And then he says one of them died. Right? One of them died. The one who died had children, and these are her children over here. Right? So then he has to bring via that she's miuchesed, and these are her children, because even if they're kukhana kara, even if these children are following the woman who's here with her, they could be for the other woman. She passed away, and then this woman became their stepmother. Being their stepmother, in the sense that now she's been bringing them up for a long time, and that's why they're kukhana kara. Kukhana kara does not help you in this instance, because Kruchan Akareah can happen for two reasons. It can happen because it's really the mother, or it can happen because she brought them up, and therefore the Kruchan Akareah. Because over there, there's no evidence that the Kruchan Akareah means that these were really her children. And again, his claim was that there was another mother involved here. And since he already was the one who told us there are two women involved, one of them died, and the children here are the children of the mother that's alive and with us now. Over there, again, we can't prove anything. We don't know anything about the children. He's going to have to bring evidence that the children really belong to this woman. The only thing that we're talking about here in this Mishnah of establishing, or the chazaka that remains in place, that these are the woman that did the ksheira or the children of ksheira, that's to feed them truma. That we are so made on this idea that they're kuchen. The fact that the children are hanging out with the mother, that's enough to establish that they're the children of this mother and they're ksheirim. That's only when it comes to eating truma. So Rashi explains yuchsin means that if you want to marry this, you have a daughter and you want to marry her off to the kohen, that will not be sufficient. You need actual yuchus to do that. When it comes to eating truma, that's fine. We'll let them eat truma with the chazaka that they're hanging out with their mother. Tosfos on the other hand learns, no, that the difference over here has to do with, right, what you want to do. And then Rabbi Yochanan, that, right, over here it sounds like, according to Rashi, that kuchana kara, right, is what establishes that you need truma. But, as Shaul pointed out, and we see another place in the Sukkot, that the father comes along and says, this is my son, and he's a Kohen, he can eat truma. He's allowed to eat truma over here. That if you say, this is my son, and he's a Kohen, then he's permitted to eat truma, even though he's not allowed to necessarily do a vote. So you have to say that Rabbeinu Tam explains over here that the case over here, that Hocha Aki Perishah, Lo Shanel Be Kadshe Gavul, Perish B'chol Davar Kedushah, that anything is Kedushah, Kavon, the Truma, the Siyas Kapayim, the Siyo Vishah. That this person, right, has Yichus, all the Siv Kuchna Rukhrev is good for Truma, it's good for the Siyas Kapayim, it's good to marry him up. Aval Yuchs and Klomar, the Skola Yodo, to have him stoned because of this, that we will not say. So what does that mean? That means that Kuchna Rukhrev is enough to establish that this person is a Kohen, and he can eat truma. He can eat yuchas to marry off to the Kohanim. But if you want to say, what happens if the mother and the child have an illicit relationship over here, right, then their punishment is death. Now that, is not enough to establish or to bring us far enough along to say that you kill based on this. It's enough of a chazaka to kill. It's enough of a chazaka to give truma, to do these types of things. But to kill them, to punish them, based on the fact that they're a mother and son, that is not enough of a chazaka. The reason is because the Gemara, you can see in a second that the Gemara goes right over to this case. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu B'Yuchsin, it's enough eaten by Yuchsin, Ba'azar Rabbi Yochanan Tamei. Rabbi Yochanan goes into his reasoning. Da'am Rabbi Chir Ba'avar Rabbi Yochanan, Malkin ala Chazakot, we give Malkot for a Chazaka, Soklin v'Sorfin ala Chazakot, we give Tfil and Tzreifu ala Chazaka, Ve'ein Sorfin Truma ala Chazakot. Can't burn Truma on a Chazaka. Malkin Achazakot to Rabbi Yehuda. What does it give Malkin and Achazakot to Rabbi Yehuda? I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Achazaka needs Huksaka Nita Bishkenuta. Right? Her neighbors know that she's a Nita. Baba Loki Alem Mishum Nita. Right? If her husband has relations with her, then he gets Malkus because she's assumed to be a Vada Nita because she has a Chazaka being a Nita among her friends. I mean, because of what clothing that she's wearing, because of whatever transpired that makes it obvious to the friends. Soka Mesorbin Achazakot to Rabbi Barabuna, Damar Abuna, Ish Vishisha. Tinok v'tinoket shehigilu b'tocha bayit. They all grew up in the same house. Nisgalin zalzem nisrafin alzeh. They considered to be arayot. That's exactly our case over here. Right? Our case over here is that they're kuchan acharel. So the assumption is that they grew up in the same house. We assume that they are mother and son. We assume that that is definitive. I mean that mother and son definitive. Chazaka to the point that we will punish them with death in this instance. So that's what we open in Tameh. When he says afilu liyuchsin, right, it means that even for Yuchsin, according to Tosfos, with me, I feel for Yuchsin, even for this case that they are mother and son, right, that they are classified as mother and son, the point that they will be killed, that Rabbi Yochanan says, and that's Rabbi Yochanan Tamei that says that this is a chazaka, that once they live together, that is a far enough chazaka. Okay, so we'll stop over here. Mark continues, so let's stop over here.